easy to get distracted, to get caught up in the busyness and the hustle of the season and Christmas parties, Christmas decorating, Christmas shopping, you know, everything in between, on top of, you know, family and regular life in general. So with that in mind, you know, it's easy to take those the constant things in your life for granted, you know, where, you know, maybe not be completely ignoring or just, you know, not spending time with, but it can be taking a less of value of God. You know, we can tend to get caught up in what's going on around us and to just not really open our hearts to Him, and we can just get distracted and busy with life. So this morning, as we join into worship, it's you know, we can set our distractions aside, set our weeks, set our troubles aside a couple hours, an hour and a half or so. You know, things aren't going to fall apart if you don't spend your focus on, you know, your Christmas shopping list or the season. So, and in this, we could just offer our hearts to God and keep our hearts open with our thankful heart. And so this morning, as I was reading Psalm 100, it kind of hits perfect on what, you know, my heart and my message is, you know, for worship this morning. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. So regardless of what's going on in life, the one thing that's constant is God is good. Regardless of what's happening, what's going on, we can always realize that we have the ultimate gift of salvation. You know, there everything else is, you know, I don't even want to say second place to it, because it's so much farther than that awesome gift that we have, and it's so free. You know, there's nothing that we have to do for it. Just open our hearts to Him and accept Him. So, and this morning, just open your heart, you know, and have a joyful heart, and put everything else aside, and really just focus on that salvation that Jesus gave us, and let that out in your worship. You know, we have people all around us, but for the next little bit, you know, your attention can be strictly focused on God and your thankfulness for Him. So in that, you know, does everybody just, you know, if we can stand to our feet and get ready to praise our God and sing with a joyful noise, because regardless of how you think your voice sounds, it sounds awesome to God. That's what I always tell myself, so. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for this morning, God. We just pray that all these distractions in life, God, can be cast upon You, Lord. And Lord, that our heart can be full of thankfulness and joy, Lord, and love, God. And Lord, we just pray that that can come out in a joyful noise, Lord. Lord, that we will be set free from the fear of man, God, in worshiping and maybe stepping out of our comfort zone and doing something new today, God. God, just as an offering to You, God, we give ourselves to You in this worship. God, we just pray that this will be, we know that this will be pleasing to You, God, because You know, You take such a joy in us, God. We just thank You so much for Your love for us, God. And God, we want to give that back to You, not only this morning, God, but for the rest of our lives and for eternity, Lord. So, Lord, we just pray that our hearts can be open to You, God, and broken free from what's going on around us, God, and just completely focused on You. So, Lord, we just thank You. We thank You that You are good. We thank You that You have given us everything, God. So, Lord, we just thank You, and we offer our worship to You. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Oh, come, let us adore Him.
Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. him cry, the Lord.
For you alone.
For you alone are worthy. For you alone are worthy. For you. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory. He cried, the Lord.
Oh, come,
let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ, for you alone are worthy. For you alone are worthy. For you alone are worthy. He cried, Lord. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory. He cries, the Lord.
Last time, oh come.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ, we adore you. We adore you. We adore you. We adore you. We adore you.
Let your heart sing out.
We adore you. We adore you. We adore you. We adore. We adore you. We adore you. We adore you. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Adore him, Christ. We have come to give you praise. We have come to give you glory. We have come to give you praise. We have come to give you glory. We have come to give you praise. We have come to give you glory. We have come to give you praise.
You're welcome.
You're welcome in this place. 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 Welcome in this place.
We have come.
We have come to give you glory.
You are due.
We have come to give you praise.
Oh, Jesus.
We have come to give glory. We have come to give you praise.
You are welcome.
Welcome in this place. 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 Be welcome in this place.
Have your way.
Have your way. Have your way, have your way. Have your way, have your way, have your way. Have your way, have your way, have your way. Have your way, have your way.
We have come.
We have come to give you glory. We have come to give you praise. We have come to give you glory. We have come to give you praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're saying you're welcome in this place. I tend to analyze everything from now on. What does that mean, you're welcome in this place? Are you saying in your heart, in this place here? Let me just give you a little bit of a scripture reference that may help us all kind of maybe center in on what's really important. This is from Genesis 28. This is when Jacob ran from Esau and was getting away from that situation because his brother threatened to kill him. And he's out in the desert area in Bethel, and he sleeps. And he lays his head on a rock, and during the night he has this vision, this dream, and this experience, and this blessing from God comes out of heaven. And then in the morning he wakes up, and it says this. It says in verse 16, "Then Jacob woke up from his sleep and exclaimed, 'Certainly the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it.'" Wow. I hope that's not us today. That the Lord's right here, willing and able and ready to do anything that we need in our lives because He loves us. And yet we don't know it. We don't receive it. We don't honor it. We don't give it the place, as David was sharing, of priority and significance in our lives. So let's not do that today. Let's not in any way miss him being here, because he's in each one of us. And when we come together, there's a multiplication that takes place. I don't quite understand it, but it's a supernatural dynamic that takes place. And there is a presence of God right here, right now. He is here in this place. You are here right now, Lord. And yes, we honor your presence. We honor, Lord, we focus on you being here right now. Lord, we do not want to say we didn't know it when we leave. Lord, we want to be able to say we saw you, we looked for you, and we experienced you. So, yes, Lord, we've come to give you glory. We've come to praise you. We've come to exalt you. We've come to magnify you. And you are welcome here. You're welcome in our hearts. You're welcome in this place, Lord. Every nook and cranny of this house, this building, Lord, you're welcome to be here. You're welcome to come and do anything you need to do in us, through us. Transform us, change us, make us into your people, God. We give you permission. We give you permission, Lord, to expand our borders. We give you permission, God, to stretch us, God. We give you permission, Lord, to make room in us, God, for you. God, will you let your grace come and take us beyond our own ability, Lord, to enter into you, to see you, to know you, God. We ask for the grace of God to come here today and do a supernatural work that nothing else can happen unless you do it in Jesus' name.
Welcome in this place, welcome in this place, welcome in this place. Welcome in this place, welcome in this place, welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place, welcome in this place, welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place, welcome in this place. Welcome in this place.
Have your way.
Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way, have your way, have your way.
Let's go back to you are welcome.
Welcome in this place, welcome in this place, welcome in this place. Welcome in this place, welcome in this place, welcome in this place. Welcome in this place, welcome in this place. Welcome in this place.
Now sing this out like you mean it.
Have your way, have your way, have your way. Have your way, have your way, have your way.
We have come.
To give you
come here and have your way. Welcome to this place. Welcome to this place. Welcome to this place. You're welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. Death could not hold you down. Sin was defeated on that day. As the mourners, they came to see what you had written.
Death cannot hold you.
Death could not hold you down. Sin was defeated on that day. As the mourners, they came to see what you had risen from the grave.
I come alive.
I come alive in you. You are the freedom my soul craves. Only your cleansing blood carries the power enough to save. Let freedom reign. Death could not hold you down. Sin was defeated on that day. As the mourners, they came to see. But you had risen from the grave. I come alive. The freedom my soul craves, only your cleansing blood carries the power enough to save. Let freedom reign.
freedom reign. Won't you come and have your way? Let freedom
shackles, we now rise. You turn my mourning into joy. Turn these ashes into beauty. Spoke dead bones back to life. Free from shackles, we now rise. You turn my mourning into joy. Turn these ashes into beauty. Spoke dead bones back to life. Free from shackles. All right.
Clothing drive for the 31 women thing. Whenever it was, we were down at the YWCA. I showed up late, but I got there and Ash had this little doggy, and they said somebody dropped him off or left him there or something. Cutest little doggy ever. But he was like covered in poop. He stank really bad. Somebody just totally like abandoned him. And then Ash was freaking out because Michelle wouldn't let her take the dog because I had a doctor's appointment or something to go do. And I ended up taking him, and I took him, got him washed up, took care of him, and he did go to a shelter for a little while, but a lady I work with ended up adopting him, and she just loved that doggy. But she was telling me that he has a lot of issues, like whoever had him was really, really mean to him. He would lose his brain if she was gone for more than about 10 minutes. He shredded their curtains, he ripped up the couch, he peed all over everything. Like, he just lost it. And she just kept talking about how, like, I don't know what somebody did to make him like this. I don't know. I'm going to do everything I can to help him. But then the Lord, like, kind of laid on my heart kind of how you and I can be that little doggy. He finds us lost and abandoned and beaten up. And he picks us up and takes care of us and washes us clean. And then that dog, he was already in her house. She wasn't going to get rid of him. It didn't matter what he did. And we are already in his house. It doesn't matter, like, we're still scarred from some of the junk that's happened. But he's going to do whatever it takes to wash us clean and to make it so. Because that dog, he's getting better. The more she loves on him, the better he gets. And that's what he really needs. And that's what he, our Father does to us, is he washes us clean. And even though, like, I mean, it would have made sense for her totally to be like, okay, this dog is just horrible. He makes a big mess. But she didn't. She said, somebody hurt him, and I want to give him a new home and a new life. And that's what our Father does for us.
Deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
All the saints.
All the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. All the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns for the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all.
to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
One more time.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all,
Jesus.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let to rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense to rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense to rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all.
Well, Glenn Plays, I just want us to take a moment here and just live those words out. Just take a moment here and just in your heart, offer up something to the Lord that He's worthy of. Something that you hold dear, treasure. Something that you maybe have held so tight you haven't let God even into it. Just give it to Him. Just say, Lord, you're worthy of this. You're worthy of this. Whatever it may be, picture in your heart, just laying it before Him. So I guarantee you commit it to Him, you give it to Him, you turn it over to Him, He'll make it better. He'll make it better. Thank you, Jesus. Trusted in His care. Ask Him to help you to take what you've offered and now use it or live it or do whatever He wants you to do with it for His glory.
I just want to kind of stay in this atmosphere, but about 2 years ago, my grandfather was diagnosed with cancer, and about 6 months after he was diagnosed, he had said a few things to me that really hurt my feelings, and you know, my grandpa and I were very close. He only lived a half a mile away from me and came to a lot of the special functions here at the church, and for 30 years, he had been nothing but caring and kind and loving. And so it was very shocking to me that he would say something hurtful to me. The last couple months, he's been in and out of the hospital, and I went to the hospital, and I just started talking to him about it. And I said, you know, Grandpa, you said a few things that really hurt my feelings. And if you pass, I have to talk to you about it before this happens. And he said, well, I don't want to talk about that. What's most important is that I love you, and you need to know that I love you. So I left the hospital, and I was not content with that. I wasn't content with it at all. And I, so this over Thanksgiving weekend, he was in the hospital again, and he went into a coma. He woke up sometime in the middle, 2 days after being in coma, he woke up and he only asked for me. And of course, I wasn't there at that time. And my mom, of course, called me and said, you need to get here.
he just woke up and he only asked for you. And I said, okay, well, of course, when I got there, he was already back asleep. And I just started praying, just asking the Lord, Lord, I need closure on this. You know, this is a man that I love, and I don't want it to end this way. And on Monday, my mom had sent me a text and said they ended up sending him home and giving him hospice. And she sent me a text and said, you need to get here. The nurse said he doesn't have very long. So I left work early, and I was just praying, Lord, what do I say to this man? How do I find closure in this? And he really quickened my heart to the reality that, one, my grandpa was on chemo and radiation, and I really just felt in my spirit that he said those things not because that's who he is as a person, but because he was influenced by the radiation, the drugs in his system. And so I felt at peace about that, but the Lord began to speak to me more, and he just said, you know what, Alicia, you might not think that he can hear you, but when you go and see him, you just need to tell him that you forgive him for the things that he said to hurt you. And so I said, okay, Lord, all right. So I showed up, and my family was able to give me a little bit of time, but just me and him. And I put my arm on his, had my hand on his shoulder, and I just kind of went, leaned over, and I whispered into his ear, and I said those very words. And I said, Grandpa, I love you, and I just want you to know that I forgive you for the things that you've said to me that have hurt me. And he opened his eyes, and he looked at me, and he said, I love you. And then he went back to sleep. And it was an hour later that he had passed. It just goes to show you how much God loves me and loves him, and that restoration happened. And that, you know, sometimes you don't wait until someone comes to you and asks you to forgive them. Sometimes you don't wait until that last second. You don't take no for an answer if they say they don't want to talk about it. You tell them, I forgive you. So I just kind of wanted to say a prayer. I was talking to Barb actually before service, and she had no idea I was going to come up here, and I hadn't shared with her anything, and she had shared with me. She said, you know, this is the season for forgiveness. And I thought, man, she has no idea what I'm going through right now. And she started to open up with me a little bit about her family and some of the hurtful things that her family has gone through. And so I just want to say a little prayer for her brother. I'm not sure if he's saved or not, but there are far worse things out there to be forgiving people than just hurtful words. So that being said, I just wanted to say a prayer for everyone in the room. If you've lost someone that you were unable to forgive, or if there's still hurt in your heart that you haven't forgiven somebody, or anything along those lines. So, Heavenly Father, I just come before you right now, God. I just ask for your Holy Spirit to just touch those hearts, Lord. Give them the strength to forgive whatever it is they need to forgive, Lord. Father, I pray for Harold, Lord, that he will come to know you and come to know how merciful and graceful you are, Lord, and how you are so loving and so kind that you will help him to forgive the things that he needs to forgive, Lord. I thank you for the restoration, and I thank you for this moment and this closure in my heart with my grandpa. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the hearts that you've touched right now. The lives that you brought restoration to. Closure and healing. We thank you for that right now, Lord. Just thank you for your presence that's here right now. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, in this atmosphere, why don't you go and say hi, greet someone. Love on them. Thank you, team. Well, praise the Lord. Woo, hot, hot, hot. Why don't we get the children to come on up? Come on up, children. And speaking of children, we are looking for some children's workers. And children's workers are individuals who can go down and help and assist with a team that teaches you guys. You guys are too young to be children's workers because you're the children. So she's looking at me like, well, maybe me. So if you love kids, or if you don't love kids and you know that the Lord would like you to enter into that ministry, because I love kids, right? Why can't you just be loved, right? Anyway, if you would like to participate in the children's ministry, please get hold of me or Pastor Gay, and we can talk to you about it and just kind of give you the details. It's really kind of too much to go over right now. But see these lovely faces and these beautiful hearts? You get an opportunity to pour into their lives, to give them love and truth from the Word of God, and sometimes some fun crafts and some lessons and stuff. So would you stretch forth your hand? We're going to pray over them. Father, we thank you for these children, Lord, that are your kids, God. They're yours, Lord. You have given them, Lord, into the hands of their parents, Lord, into this house, God. And we take stewardship of them, Lord, and we ask you to give us, Lord, the words, give us the wisdom, give us the hearts of love, Lord, to encourage them and give them, Lord, the tools that they need, Lord, for today in their lives, God, that they can be lights shining in darkness, Lord, that they can be voices of God, Lord, in their schools, with their friends, Lord, that they would carry healing in their hands, Lord, that they would be, Lord, everything you've called them to be now and in the future. We just bless them now. In Jesus' name, amen. Yep. I think their teacher's already left. Okay, praise the Lord. That's one down, 32 to go. No, I don't have that many, so. Like, whoops. Hang on a second here. It's not working. Just bear with me here. Okay, so couple of announcements. Last week we sent around a clipboard, and we're going to send that around again for our intimate Christmas. Gay's helping me here. And if you signed up, of course, don't sign up again.
But what the Intimate Christmas is, it is on December 21st, and we put 5 p.m. down, but it could be earlier. It just depends on, you know, how early the family who's hosting you wants to get together with you guys. So I encourage you to sign up for this. What's going to happen is that we're going to take these names, draw them out, and for whoever wants to be a host home, we'll have you at their home. We've made it before that the host home is going to supply all the food, but I think it'd be better if you guys brought side dishes or dessert or something like that, and you can work that out with the host home. So again, I'm going to go ahead and start it on this side. And it is, the host homes are leaders. Yes, yes, the host homes are leaders. So you're not just going to be at a host home of somebody you don't know. So, although it could be the case as well. So, okay, let me get this here. Next Sunday, after church, there's going to be a bake sale, and the proceeds are going to go towards helping Nancy Lopez, who is at Bethel. She's in the Bethel School of Ministry. She's doing her second year, and this is, I believe, for her missions trip. I don't know where she's going, South Africa. How cool is that? Okay, go ahead and come up, Mom, and let us know some more info.
Okay, the idea for this bake sale came from Victoria Brown. And she said, I don't bake. I don't either. And she said, I don't bake. She goes, but this has been laid on my heart. She goes, and then I went to Facebook, and then pop up, there is Nancy's request for help for a passport. Well, in this interim, we have a family member. Who here heard Pastor Mike's message last week when he said, even when we're not in God, we're still a part of him, you know, is what he said, that they can still be used of him. It's just waiting for the truth to be revealed. Well, Tim's family, there's a family member who was offered to step up and pay for her passport.
Oh, praise the Lord. That's expensive.
Okay, yeah, it is. But I don't know if she's going to continue because she's an atheist. And when she stepped up to bless, I don't know if she understood. So I explained to her yesterday via message. So I'm hoping that will still come through. But it was, Eric kept sending me and Tim texts. Do you know who this person is? Because she's friends on your Facebook page and Nancy's. And I'm like, why is Eric worried about? And then he tells me later she offered to pay for Nancy's passport. And I'm like, I don't know, but let me tell you what Pastor Mike was telling us last week at church. And so if she does pay for this passport, any money that we raise next week is still going to Nancy and this missions trip, because it's going to be like $1,100 for her to go or whatever. So, but this is like when she heard that she got on the South Africa team, she was just like amazed and was just like, she wants to be there because her heart is to bless children and to be a part of those that need the Lord so much. Her heart is just so open to that. So we have people who are donating baked goods, and if you want to, let me or Victoria Brown know. I won't be here next Sunday because I have to be at Droll with my husband, but please come willing to purchase. It will be by donation only. We're not going to put price tags on it, but please be willing to give whatever the Lord asks you to give.
Okay, awesome. All right. Even if you don't eat baked goods, if you don't cook them, you know, you can still just put some money in the bucket. This Wednesday night, Intimate Christmas, yeah. There you go. This Wednesday night, that the 31 women are going to have their outreach at Good Samaritans, Good Sam's, and they're going to be delivering all the socks that have been collected yesterday and before that for the what are they called? They're not inmates, of course, but what patients, residents, there we go. I'm like, inmates, that just doesn't sound right. Open mouth, insert foot, right, Dan? Yeah. Swallow. Some would think probably they're inmates, so, right? It's like, I want out of this prison. So anyway. No, I've talked to some before, and it's like they don't belong there. Okay. The youth are going to also go and help, and I think also the two ministries that meet here on Wednesday night. So they'll be meeting at 6:30 as well and going. So Barb and Ken's groups. What's that? Anybody can join. Be here at 6:30, and you can help carpool over there. And it'll be such a blessing to those residents. They really do enjoy the youth coming. They have fun sometimes just playing bingo or just sitting with them and talking. It's amazing how you can just, you know, warm someone's heart and bless their day by just being there, not even saying things sometimes. So, and I think I did it all. I did it. Without messing up. Of course, I did probably mess up, but, you know. At this time, I would love, and I'm excited to have my lovely wife come and share the word today. She's shuddering, so I mean, she's got a really good word, or she's not sure. Cheer on. Come on now. Yep.
I'm wondering if there's going to come a day he calls me that, an inmate. That would be really bad. So, hi, family. Thank you, sweetie. Appreciate your help. God bless Glenn's heart. Amen. Good man there. Good man, Charlie Brown. I have a title, Jesse. I have a title, believe it or not. And the title is, What Does Your Heart Know? Doesn't that sound compelling and interesting? And inquiring minds, don't you want to know what that means? So we're going to learn that. What does your heart know? I think I'm going to start by reading the actual scripture that the Lord put on my heart. And I've actually ministered from this scripture before, but not actually... from this passage, I should say, excuse me, but not actually from this scripture, this particular one. It's the one right below that. But I want to read all of it together because it flows so well together, and it kind of gives you just a clear picture of what the Lord is trying to speak to us. So if everybody would please turn to Ephesians. We're going to be reading from the New King James Version, and it's Ephesians 3. And it's going to be 16 through 19. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. And it says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man. Not everybody sees that inner man, do they? And sometimes we do, and it's not a pretty picture. 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. And this is the key scripture. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We've been talking a lot in our church body, this local church body, about the fullness of God. We've talked a lot about that in the past months, and some of it we've all understood, some of it we haven't. Some of it has been clear, and some of it has been clear as mud. And I believe that God's revelation to us is when he makes it clear. And not all of us get the clear picture at the same time. So one person could be looking at you like they understand you clearly, and the other person look at you like they understand you clearly as mud at the same time. But that God and his love for us, his revelation, comes when we need it, not when everybody needs it all together, because not everybody needs his revelation at the same time. Okay, so this verse 19, the very second word in there, know, K-N-O-W, K-N-O-W, know. That word is the Greek word genosko, genosko. It's a verb. And it means to learn to know, how to know, get a knowledge to perceive, to feel, like to know, to feel. And it's a Jewish idiom. Is that how you say it? I-D-I-O-M? Idiom, okay. And it's for intimate relationships between a man and a woman. That's to know. And you know the scripture in Luke 1 when the angel comes to Mary and she says, hey, how's that going to be possible? I haven't even known a man. And that's what she's talking about, that intimate relation between a man and a woman. That's what this word means, that know. But then if you look in the scripture a little bit further in, it says, the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Okay, to know and then knowledge is in the same scripture, and it's like, hey, isn't that the same thing? But knowledge actually signifies general intelligence here. So what I'm trying to get to is that the to know is the to know. It's the depth. It's the feeling of knowing something, and the knowledge of it is the intellect to know it. Okay, so in this scripture it says to know, this is the to know the love of Christ here, which passes knowledge here, that you may be filled with all fullness, all the fullness of God. Okay, so this is a big scripture, you guys, for me. It's huge scripture, and let me tell you why it's a huge scripture. It's because I've got knowledge. I went to Bible college. I know up here all the right things that I need to be doing, the right things to say, the right steps to make, the ones not to make, and the ones not to say. I know all of that here. But did you guys know that the longest trip in the world is the 12 inches to here? It really is the longest trip in the world. From here to here. And that's what God wants us to talk about today. And I'm really excited about that because, you guys, there's more to it than you even can realize. And let me tell you why. I read a story that was written by a man about his wife. She was 47, 48-ish. And to some of you that are only 17, 18, 22, 23... 47, 48-ish may seem really old, but to those of us that have surpassed that, seems really, really young. That would be me. I think that's pretty young. And she actually was diagnosed with the early onset of Alzheimer's disease at age 47. Now, that's pretty young. Normally, it doesn't happen that young. And the bad thing about it happening that young is it normally takes a whole lot longer for it to reach its, the disease to reach its fruition, I mean, you have to go all the way to the end. And they live longer, which is not always a good thing because it's just a really terrible disease, as everybody already knows. And this man is actually writing this story from his perspective because he is actually his wife's caregiver. And it's going through the story of what he's going through to take care of her. And it's the very it's been a couple years since her first diagnosis, and he doesn't know it yet, but it's the very last. Hi, bud. You gonna come help me preach? Come on and help me. It's the very last Christmas that they will spend together in their family home, and he's in a depressed state at this point because. It's his world has narrowed down to very, very, very small amount of work and wife. That's all he does. And so he doesn't realize that this is their last Christmas together in their home with their children. She knows no one, and she's only 50. She doesn't recognize her children or her parents or him. She just knows that he's a face she sees every day. And they have made her the queen of Christmas. They have this beautiful chair in their living room, and they seat her on the chair, and they bring all of her packages to her, and they are just making it all about her. And so she's opening up the gifts, and she's, you know, puzzled about what some of them even are because she doesn't know. She's forgotten what a telephone is. She doesn't know what, you know, a normal day-to-day thing that we use. She has no idea what that even is. But she's opening up these little trinkets and these clothes and all of that. And so she gets to the very end of her gift wrap opening, and she's real meticulous. She takes tape off everything. So it's a long process for her to get through her gifts, you know, because she doesn't want to tear it. But she pats the pile of things right by her. She's patting it. And this is what she says. And this is the normal thing how Alzheimer's patients speak. Thanks. Good. Use. In other words, she's thanking them, and what they gave her was good. But then she does something. And it is so miraculous that it totally wrecks the family. She bows her head, and in the clearest English, she says, "Oh, Father, thank you for today and for these precious ones gathered around me. I love you. I love you. Thank you." When she lifts her head and she looks at her spouse, he's overwhelmed because he thinks a miracle's happened. He's got his wife back. But she still has that blank look in her eye and is looking at all, but he recognizes something here. And this is what I want us to recognize, you guys. This is so important. He recognizes that her spirit knows God, even though her knowledge of who he is forgotten. She knows him. Do we live here? Or do we love here? The most powerful thing in us as people of God, is our spirits. That's the most powerful thing. And I think what we've tried to convey over the past 6 to 8 months here at our church is that this is where it's all about. Right here. This love knowing right here. I also have another story to tell you, and it's of another woman. And she also has Alzheimer's disease, but she's 87 years old. And if you guys later, I don't want to see anybody pulling out their phones and getting on the internet and looking this up, but you can later. You can go to YouTube and you can pull it up. It's a story about a sweet little lady, and her name is Gladys Wilson. And Gladys is 87 years old. Gladys was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2000, year 2000. It's 2014. I don't know if she's still alive or not, but she has been nonverbal for quite some time, which Alzheimer's patients get to the point where they don't speak. And she only is looking with one eye, and you don't even know if she sees you because she's just, the other eye is completely shut, and you don't know if she's really looking at anything and recognizes anything or not, and she probably does not, but she's very nonverbal. But there's this wonderful lady who goes to her as a therapist, and I think it's called something bridge, caring bridge or something like that. That's this therapy thing. And so she goes in and she visits Gladys, and she is sitting right in front of her, and she's speaking to her in very low tones, and she's stroking her cheek, and she's stroking beside the eye like a mother would do as she's, you know, loving on her baby. And she's trying to connect with her. And so she begins to sing to her, not knowing anything about her pretty much personal-wise, just knowing that she's been an Alzheimer's patient for a while and nonverbal. She begins to sing to her, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And Gladys begins to keep the beat with her as she sings it. "Jesus loves me, this I know." And then as Gladys picks up the beat, so does the therapist. And pretty soon this therapist is going really fast because Gladys is absolutely banging on her wheelchair arm really, 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 really fast because they do repetitive things. That's what Alzheimer's patient does all the time. And so this woman is singing with Gladys as Gladys is beating it. But then, this lady starts to sing, "He's got the whole world in his hands." Now, Gladys, I said, is 87, nonverbal. I forgot to tell you that she's a black woman. So she's from the South, is what they say, and she's got the whole, I mean, that song, she knows that song. And so the therapist begins to sing, "He's got the whole world in his hands." And Gladys begins to beat again on her chair. But then she reaches up her hand and she begins to beat the beat on the lady's arm. But then all of a sudden, "He's got you and me, Gladys, in his hands." Then she's saying, "He's got you and me, Gladys." And Gladys says, "In his hands." Hasn't spoken in they don't know how long. Therapist, "He's got you and me, Gladys." Gladys, "In his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands." She knows. Gladys knows. Now, what is it that I'm trying to tell you guys? Alzheimer's patients have had their brains eaten away by this disease, but their spirit, their heart, that know is still alive. It is powerful. It is all they've got. And we need to recognize God made us that way. When everything else is going and failing us, Gladys is in a wheelchair. She can't walk anymore. She can't see. She wasn't speaking. Everything was going. But she still had that know, that intimate drawing from God, that knowing, that intimate drawing from God, the knowing that He made us that way. If you guys will turn with me to Luke 23, verse 34. Luke 23:34. You'll recognize this because this is Jesus. And he is being crucified. And he says, then Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Okay, now if you'll let me have a little bit of liberty here, I'm going to show you something. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because if they really knew what they were doing, this picture might look real different. What does your heart know? And if it doesn't know, if you're like them, and we have been, and sometimes we still are, what does your heart know? If it only knows, then what do we do? Where do we go? How do we change? Well, it says that if we can know, let's go back and read that scripture again, the last one. It says in verse 19, Ephesians 3:19, to know here the love of Christ, which passes the knowledge here, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So if we really don't know how to love God 100% from here, does that mean that we're not filled with all the fullness of God? Because it says in that conjunction there, that you may be filled. To know here the love of Christ, which passes the knowledge here, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the goal. And if we don't know, but we know, then it's one prayer away will take you the 12-inch trip that you need. And sometimes you may have to repeat it. God, help me to really know. Help me to really know. Like that wonderful 50-year-old woman that hadn't spoken to her family and didn't recognize them, but she knew God. Oh, Father, thank you. That's all she had left, that knowing here. Gladys, he's got the whole world in his hands. In his hands. He knows. She knows that she's got it. And God's going to be faithful to us that we'll get it too. Amen? You will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. The completeness comes from God when we ask him to help us to know him here as well as here.
Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a moment and just ask Holy Spirit to do a work in us. Ask the reality of knowing him to be more fully realized today. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that there would just be a release, God, of the tension, the restriction, the distractions of life that may be keeping us, Lord, from knowing you with that love that you have for us, God. Knowing that love, Lord, that agape love, that unconditional love that we are loved. Father, I just pray right now that you would just minister to us as your people so we could be filled with your fullness. As much as that does not make sense to our natural minds, to have the fullness of God. Lord, we know it's possible, or you would not have put it in your word. You would not have said it through your servant Paul unless it was possible. So, Father, I release, Lord, your people right now to receive a love dose from you. Yes, God. Right now, Lord, just break every mindset, Lord, that fights and restricts them from being able to receive right now in Jesus' name. Let them just be able to open up their hearts right now, receive your love. So they can experience a deeper level of your fullness, Lord. Thank you, God, that we don't have to figure you out with our own natural minds. Thank you, Lord, that when we think we figured out with our own natural minds, that you remind us that it's not about that. It's about our hearts, it's about our spirit connecting the inner man, Lord. I just thank you, God, that you're doing a work that goes beyond any surface action that we've seen. It's deep and it's eternal. And we receive that today into our lives. We receive that right now in Jesus' name. We appropriate, Lord, the truth that you love us. And we want to walk in the results of that, the fullness of you in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glenn, do you think we might be able to get Worthy of You at All one more time? Since that was the text song to you this morning. He got that song text to him in his dreams, I guess you could say. And the person who texted it to him didn't even realize that they did it. It's from Stephen, yeah. So funny the way God's working. What was the one that you had, Stephen? That was a crazy testimony. Oh, Stephen, no, don't do it. Okay, he just says it's too weird.
Yeah, we'll leave that one for another day. Maybe next time you preach. Yeah, maybe. Hallelujah. He is worthy of it all. Let's stand. Let's just honor him. You know, as you honor him, he does amazing things. As you set your focus and gaze on him, he releases stuff in your life. He releases his presence, his power, his provision, his peace. I mean, we just need to learn to just turn off the mechanism. Turn off the noise. Turn off the volume of life sometimes and just start saying, Lord, you're worthy of it all. Everything that I'm doing, everything that I think is important in my life, you're worthy of me to just give it all to you.
Same time as we sing, you are worthy of it all, I see Jesus on the cross. He's looking at every one of us and he says, you were worthy of it all. All his blood, all the pain he went through, he says, you are worthy.
From you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
All the saints.
And all the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. Deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. From you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Praise the Lord. You guys go have a great week and experience in an intimate way the love of God.
expect to experience it, watch to experience it, and then enjoy the fullness of God coming upon you. Love you.
Ha ha ha.